Heyo, welcome back. We're talking theme parks.
I feel like Universal's getting pretty darn close to surpassing Disney World.
I think it is more on the level of a Legoland.
You need a young buck to get you into the park.
And this park really is a speculated DreamWorks park.
Life party, life's always a party. Let's go, Paulie.
Heyo, welcome back. We're talking theme parks today.
Yeah, we are. A couple weeks back, we talked about Super Nintendo World, which is public right now. So that is a theme park that is active. You can go to right now. Today, though, however, we are talking about a theme park that has just given us a blueprint of what it's going to be, the layout's going to be, but it has not yet been open to the public.
Correct. So Universal announced their newest theme park that they are going to be building, which is in Frisco, Texas, here in the United States. It's a very different type of theme park. We're going to get into all the details, go through the land. We're going to look through the concept art, our thoughts, kind of why are they building this in Texas, what type of park this is, because it's very different from their traditional parks they currently have here in the States, which is in Universal Studios Hollywood in California and Universal Studios Orlando Resort down in Florida. So we're getting a lot of new stuff from Universal, which is super exciting. And this theme park honestly came out of the blue, and it's just an awesome thing. They announced this back in January. So they have all these new things. As we just said, Super Nintendo World out in Hollywood, they just opened to the public in February. And in January, right before they opened this new land, they were like, another mic drop.
Yeah, for real. So the Super Nintendo World, we talked about how it was so interactive.
Correct.
And like how that might pave the way for future theme parks and being more interactive, more so than thrill rides.
Correct.
And the main theme with this park, and the first thing that comes to mind when I see the map, and we're going to flash it up here, very colorful. Paul's been dissecting the map, coming up with some speculation on what kind of themed parks they're going to have in the land. But the uniqueness of this park is that it's going to be catered to kids.
Correct.
Not only kids, but kids age 3 to 9 years old. So they're not even messing with the teenagers. And they're not even looking at the adults. This is going to be catered to little kids.
Yeah, so traditionally, we have our theme park wars in the United States. If you know the big companies, right? You're really looking at Disney and Universal are kind of your theme parks. And then you kind of have your amusement parks, which they're just kind of put together. They don't have a lot of theming. That's why they're called that. And you're looking at your chains like Cedar Fair, like Six Flags. And then you kind of have SeaWorld and Busch Gardens, which is one company. They're kind of in the middle. They kind of have a little bit more theming than the lower amusement parks, but they're definitely not the top tier like Universal or Disney. It's really interesting to see Universal just grow their brand. They're really on this new path. They got a brand new theme park they're opening in 2025 in Orlando to kind of compete with Disney, add a new theme park down in Orlando. It's kind of the equivalent to their Magic Kingdom, which is going to be more family branded. And it's interesting that traditionally the Universal parks here in the United States have been really catered towards the teen audience, the young adult audience. And that's kind of what they've built their brand on. Hollywood Horror Nights, which is a huge event in October, which is like young teens, young adults. Adults love that event. It's so different from Disney. And if you really look in their current parks, they don't have too many kid offerings. It is really meant for, because right for Orlando, for example, when you're comparing those theme parks, you have Disney, which is very family heavy. It's a lot of kids, a lot of young people growing up, families, parents bringing their children, exploring Disney for the first time, right? Where for Universal standout, they decided not to go to that demographic. So for the first time, it's really interesting for them to go in this new direction.
Yeah.
And put theme parks not on the coast, kind of in the middle of the country. And they've talked about expansion where they might, if this park is successful, they might start opening more of these in different parts of the country.
It is interesting to see Universal's like trajectory of their layout plan. Because as you talk about, they have the big parks in Florida and Hollywood. But this land specifically, it's a smaller land. Maybe they're trying to branch out into these other higher upcoming states like Frisco, Texas, which has increased dramatically over the past years. It's moved up like 300% in population. It's an up-and-coming city that they want a lot of entertainment there and all a lot of fun stuff to come on there. But back to the size of the park. So they have those big areas. This is a smaller area for kids. It's catered to those kids. It's 97 acres wide or 97 acres wide.
Large.
97 acres large. But only 30 acres is part of the park right now. The rest of the acres, do the math, 97 minus 30. Producer Drew knows math. That's 67. So there's 67 acres left that they work with. Some of it goes to parking. Some of it is getting planned for maybe a land expansion. So at the same time, as you look at the comparisons of this new land, it's almost about like a fourth of what a typical Universal land is. So you can see that maybe they're trying to sprout to these other states, get more reach out to younger generations, and Universal is taking an initiative to up the theme park world.
I think it is interesting with Frisco, Texas, and Disney has looked at this, not Frisco in general, but Texas, bringing it, you know, a large theme park to Texas.
Yeah, like why Frisco, Texas?
I think just Texas in general is a really rapidly growing state.
You liked it when you went.
I told you prior to the show.
Paul said he might move there.
I like Texas. I've only been there once. I went in 2019, and I was in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and it was just beautiful. Beautiful city, really nice weather year-round. I mean, the summer I could probably, you know, is on the hotter side, but I think it's up and coming. You have a lot of population there. The taxes are cheaper. That's why a lot of companies might be moving to Houston. Houston's a really big upcoming city as well. So I know parks have looked at the Houston area. But for Frisco, I think it's going to be great for that city. I think it's going to be great for that surrounding area.
Yeah, some of the things they mentioned. It's going to enhance tax base. It's going to bring more job opportunities to Frisco, Texas. It's going to bring more fun, which I mentioned earlier. So those are three big components on like, hey, this is why we're building this here. We want more families to come here and enjoy the park.
And you definitely have theme parks that are already in Texas. I mean, Texas is a super large state. As
everything's bigger in Texas.
And the theme parks are going to start getting bigger, baby. They're starting small. But you have SeaWorld has SeaWorld San Antonio, which is Texas, right?
Yes, it is.
You have two Six Flags parks, I believe, are in Texas. So they're definitely growing here. And it's just cool to see Universal kind of expand outside the coasts and see how this succeeds and see what their brand will look like in the future. And I really think that the idea of this park is to cater towards the younger audience, to not infringe on their current group of people that already come to their theme parks on the coasts.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't want to add this into a park that is already doing really well with attendance, is already really thrill heavy. And it's kind of growing their brand that you can bring a younger audience in, know the Universal properties, their IP, understand what the theme parks of that brand are going to look like, how they're going to feel, the immersion, and really just create that bond at a really young age that Disney does very, very well already, right? With the movies, with the properties, with the theme parks, especially Magic Kingdom, like creating that sense of wonder and that really strong connection at a very young age to build that lifelong bond and that lifelong purchases and tickets. I mean,
that's huge.
You have the idea of the Disney adult, right? Like everyone talks about the Disney adult where it's because you have such a strong bond and these memories as a kid that you want them for the rest of your life. And you want to have that kid childhood-like atmosphere when you go to those parks. So if you kind of do that with Universal a little bit, but you separate the parks, you have your thrill parks, you have your kid parks, and you're just creating, you're moving them basically as they grow up.
And that's important. And what makes me think of what we talked about previously on another show, not to get off topic, but it's the idea of kids having fun in arcade and arcade games like Dave and Buster's. And then they grow into, they're basically playing casino games, but they're playing for fun. And you kind of get that relationship and you're kind of putting it in their face at a younger age. And then they just grow up liking it. And then those kids who loved arcades when they were little are going to the casinos.
You're creating these lifelong customers. So that's really where I think Universal is trying to do, where they've really never done in the past. What's really cool about, so talking about attendance a little bit, if you're, you know, Ryan kind of gave you a size of the park.
I tried to. I was all over the place on that.
But they're basically saying 7,500 people on weekdays, 20,000 on the weekends. I'm curious to see from a year-round perspective. I mean, I don't know how much Frisco really is as a tourist destination of, like, bringing people there.
Yeah, I'm not
so
sure.
So you have, I mean, even, like, Disneyland, DCA, they talk about those parks where it is a lot of locals. It's locals who love the park, so just like us here in New Jersey, we go to Six Flags all the time. I have a season pass. Like, I like going to that park. And you clearly have the attendance and the population in the surrounding area to support that park being there. So clearly they've done their research. They have the population to support it. But I'd be curious to see if people might travel for this park and those attendance rates, if they're going to be like that in the opening year or they're going to be larger.
Yeah, and we'll get to they mentioned they're building a hotel.
Yes.
But it only has 300 rooms. Like, that's not a lot of rooms, right?
It's not. But I think for that type of park, that size, what I really like, this is something new that Universal's been doing. I believe Tokyo Disneyland or Tokyo Disney Sea, they have that idea where a hotel is connected. And right now, like, connected to the main theme park. And in just like Universal has in Orlando, you have a bunch of theme parks that are within walkable distance.
Yeah. So you're immersed in the experience the whole time.
Yes.
Like, and they want to embrace that.
Correct. And I think keeping this hotel right in front of the park, as you look at the concept art, it's kind of spanning that front entrance way. So you show up, you park, you're kind of already at the hotel. And then when you're ready in the morning to go to the theme park, you kind of just walk out your door and you're walking, you know, less than 100 feet to the park. And I think that's really cool. And I think that's a really, people always talk about convenience. And if you can be there, you might pay a little extra just to wake up. You'll probably have what's it called, early park admission. Like a lot of the parks do. If you stay on property, you might get into the park about 30 minutes early, which is always a perk. So I think they're starting small, but I think those rooms will fill up fast for sure.
Yeah, they're obviously leaving acres open because they obviously plan on expanding, hopefully, and that's including hotels with the park. So into some logistics about the park, like, why is this park different or how is this park different? We talked about the emphasis on 3 to 9 years old. Like, they're really stern on, hey, this is our target audience. We're not targeting teens. We're not targeting young adults. We're targeting 3-year-olds to 9-year-olds. Yeah. That's what kind of rides you're going to get. And with that being said, I think they mentioned that there's not going to be a roller coaster or a ride that's no higher than 50 feet tall. So that's the max you're going to get at this park. And co-signing with the age target range, they're not staying open past 9 o'clock at night. I think they open no earlier than maybe 8 or 9, but they're not going past 9 p.m. I know they mentioned that they're going to have, they have like 20 reserved dates or special events throughout the year that maybe they'll extend the closing park time to 10 p.m., but they're really stern on this target audience and they're going to make sure it caters to younger kids.
I think also too, when you start moving in the middle of the country and you start moving to these cities that have amusement parks, for example, a lot of them do have like height restrictions. They have noise complaint stuff. Like, there are. I mean, right now...
Do you think they'll have two... Probably they'll have... Well, you can't be this tall. Like, you're too tall to ride this ride. It's probably a lot of that going on here.
Well, it's going to be more of... We're going to talk about comparable parks in the future and kind of what we might see from this park when it is built. But, like, Legoland. I don't know if we talked about it prior, but I found out that as a grown adult, like a man, I cannot go to Legoland by myself.
Really?
So
it's like, so it's almost yeah, like the reverse of a rated R movie. Like, when you go to a rated R movie, you need to be with an 18-year-old at least or a 21-year-old to get in to see the rated R movie. This, you need a young buck to get you into the park.
It's kind of that idea with Chuck E. Cheese, if you don't know this too.
Oh, I can't go by myself. Oh, that's...
You okay. Can't. You can't go by yourself with Chuck E. Cheese. You're like, you need a kid.
They got decent pizza. It's nostalgic.
Yeah, you're not going... Relax, okay?
Can you get Chuck E. Cheese takeout pizza?
You can try. Because I don't know who is. Probably some psychopath or this guy right here.
Back to the park.
But with the park, like with Legoland, you need an adult. The adult needs a kid to enter. And it's kind of that safety for the children in the park.
100%. It's necessary.
You know what I mean? I think it'll carry over here too. So a lot of people are talking about big Universal fans, like you would love to go to the park, but most likely you will not be able to unless you have a child. So either find a niece or nephew or start having a kid. Because if you're into Universal and you want to visit this park, you have a few years. You know, the expected opening date for this, we're going to talk a little bit more, but should be 2024. I'm curious to see if they'll hit that. I don't think they will. I think it'll be 2025. But they are opening Epic Universe down in Orlando. They're big theme park in 2025, so they might want to spread out their announcements and their press releases and just showcase the brand a little bit more. So they might be pushing for 2024, but it looks like a lot of theming in this concept art. And even though the park is smaller, the detail does take so much time.
All right, so I do have a question for you
and
your thoughts, but kind of like a generic kind of style of this park, a little more information. So it's going to have family-friendly attractions. It's going to have interactive and playful shows, obviously, that that are compatible with the age range. They're going to obviously have character meet and greets. They're going to have unique merch, and they're going to have fun food and beverage options, just like when we talked about Super Nintendo World and Toadstool Cafe, as they were going more so for the artsy, creative side of the food and beverages rather than the quality, but that's to be determined. So my question to you, Paul, is they're going to have those more family-friendly, like, attributes to the park. They're not going to have fireworks.
No.
So I don't know what your feelings are towards that, because you're a big firework guy.
Yeah.
Like, this label, he's the firework guy.
I do like pew! Them. It all depends. Yep, I knew that was coming. But with the fireworks, I truly believe it is probably part of the city of Frisco. There probably is some...
law?
Yeah, there's probably some restrictions here, like noise after certain hours.
That's true. The kids don't have to wear the little, like when you see kids, what do you call it, Super Bowl babies?
Yeah.
When they go on the field or they're at a concert and they got the big earmuffs on. That makes sense.
They're
then.
Protecting their ears. No, but I think it truly is for the surrounding area in the town. I don't really think it's for the active...
yeah.
Guests of that day. I think it's more of noise complaint, those kind of things at night. And like a lot of the Cedar Fair parks, they're having a lot of issues expanding because if they want to build a coaster over 300 feet, they have to go through the town, and the town is usually saying no because of just noise. Too much noise with active towns or active houses being close. So building in a town, that's what's really nice about Orlando. It's just so... expansive, and there was so much open land to build.
That's also what I was going to ask you. Doesn't Universal have a better reputation of building rides faster than Disney?
Correct.
Why is that the case?
Because the way it's kind of their announcement strategy. So Tron, for example, and I would love to talk about this in a future episode, but Tron just opened at the Magic Kingdom. It's currently in previews, and it'll open officially to the public April 4th of 2023. And it's in the Magic Kingdom. It's in Tomorrowland, kind of right next to Space Mountain. That has been, you know, it was announced 7 years ago. It's taken 7 years
crazy.
From announcement to the public to being actually operational to daytime guests. And that's insane. Yes, we had COVID in there. Disney wasn't really prioritizing the release because they didn't know how many people they could let in the park, like all of these PR things too. So they did kind of drag it out. But at the same time, 7 years is still 7 years.
Yeah.
And that's kind of ridiculous for this ride. And people have kind of complained that the ride is only a minute long. It's very short. It's super immersive. But at the same time, like 7 years for a minute, that's a pretty big letdown.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the parks. You mentioned it's kind of... Sorry, what? Well, you had something
else to say? You asked a question. I didn't even answer.
What was the question I had? Fireworks?
No, you were asking about like what's the difference of this construction, right?
Oh,
so like
yeah.
Disney takes 7 years, but it's because they kind of Disney announces things and then builds it. Where Universal, when they were building the Velocicoaster,
that makes sense
down in Orlando, Universal's Islands of Adventure. I mean, it's an amazing ride. We've talked about it here on the show. They basically were building an active roller coaster and did not announce anything to the public. People were like, what are you building? If you went online or Twitter or whatever, the main account would be like, oh, it's just a churro stand. And that's what's really funny, because when it opened on opening day, they gave out free churros to all the guests.
That's funny.
Because it was like an inside joke of saying, oh, nothing to see here. It's just a churro stand.
You would love Churro Land.
I love give me every churro you want.
Paul does it. He skips the rides. And once he gets to a theme park, he goes right to the churro
stand. It's a churro and popcorn for me. That's my theme park favorites. But that's the difference, right? Like they... And that way, for some reason, in your mind, you just feel as though you're given that a lot quicker.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, when they built Velocicoaster, it only took 2 years to build. It's like, no, it was in development for probably 5 years. But the thing is, they didn't really announce it to the public until about a year before it opened. And then, boom, it's here. Where yeah. Disney announced this roller coaster, took 7 years to build. And you say, where the hell is this thing?
I feel like that's a reflection on good management, right?
That's true, yeah.
In Disney's mind, they're like, we haven't put anything out in a while. What can we give the people to talk about? Like, what can we give the people? Tell them we're building this roller coaster and we have no blueprint, no idea where the roller coaster is going. We don't know anything. But Universal, it seems like they're 10 steps ahead. Like right now, we talk about the Universal and Disney race. I feel like Universal is getting pretty darn close to surpassing Disney World. And this project goes to show, and they're always ahead in building and branching out to different cities, and they're always planning roller coasters well in advance before the public knows. So it seems like Universal has good management, which makes it seem like, and this park's going to be really fun and why people are really excited for it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm really talking about, this idea of a theme park. And you look at the differences of what is this difference? And people, I think, have really been seeing what is this park going to look like, right? Like, what's the main purpose of it? What are the comparables we can look at? I think people have said, oh, this is Universal's idea of Six Flags. We're putting regional parks places. I personally don't feel it that way. I think it is more on the level of a Legoland. Legoland has, I believe, three parks here in the United States. They have one in New York, Orlando, and California. It's these, you know, immersive theme parks that are based around one IP, which is Legos, or even Sesame Street, for example. There's Sesame Place, which is in PA, which is entirely themed around the Sesame Street characters. It's very kid-friendly, but it is not an amusement park. I believe those parks to be theme parks, where they're very heavily themed and they're immersive and they have character meet and greets and they do a lot of really cool stuff. So I think it's kind of that idea where it's going to be on the level of a Sesame's Place or a Legoland. They're going to put them in different areas, not where those parks are currently, and try to go towards that younger audience.
But unlike Sesame Street Land, is that what it's called?
Sesame's Place, yeah. So there's two for Sesame. So for the Sesame,
is there a
Street,
Sesame Street Land?
The Sesame Street characters, there's Sesame Place, which is a full theme park, which is in Pennsylvania. And then there's like a Sesame Street Land kind of under SeaWorld, which I believe is in Busch Gardens. It might be in Busch Gardens or one of the SeaWorld parks down in Orlando.
But when you go there, you're getting one IP.
Correct.
This, you're getting speculation of multiple.
You're getting multiple IPs, but you're still getting under one brand.
Right.
So we can kind of talk about this a little bit. If you're looking back at the, you know, we've been talking about this whole park, but like, let's get into the meat of it.
Let's get into it.
What is this park really going to be themed around? Now, Universal owns a lot of properties, just like Disney, right? They own Jurassic Park. They own Back to the Future. They own Fast and Furious. But if you go just like Disney, Disney has Pixar and they have Disney Animation. That's kind of their two animation studios. Universal has Illumination Entertainment, which is like the Minions, Despicable Me, Secret Life of Pets. And then they purchased a couple years ago DreamWorks, which is your Shrek, your How to Train Your Dragon, your Madagascar, all of those kind of things. And they really haven't done a lot with DreamWorks in their current parks. They're currently possibly doing some DreamWorks. They did DreamWorks Destination, was like a character meet and greet down in Universal Studios Orlando. But they've really used the Illumination characters and the Minions in like main rides or little areas or lands in their current theme park. So DreamWorks is definitely not used as much. And I think this is what they were planning for. And this park really is a speculated DreamWorks park, which is going to be major DreamWorks properties like Trolls, Shrek, or Puss in Boots, like the Far, Far Away, or Madagascar is in here too. And then in the top corner, so there's kind of four lands. Those were what I talked about. Trolls, Shrek, Madagascar, and the top kind of looks very similar to what we have as Jurassic Park. But Jurassic Park is not a DreamWorks franchise. But DreamWorks does an animated series on Netflix called Camp Cretaceous, which Camp Cretaceous is actually a mini land in Jurassic Park in Universal's Islands of Adventure, which is geared towards kids. So I think keeping that Universal property, which is a Jurassic Park, very recognizable brand, a lot of people love it already, and it is technically a DreamWorks property in this animated show.
I just think it's funny that when I look at the theme park map, I'm like, oh, lots of colors. I mean, we're probably looking at like four lands here. I'm excited to see what they announce. Like, I don't know. Like, this looks like it could be a fun time. And then, like, Paul, the theme park nerd, comes out, and he's like, well, the main entrance, it looks like we got a DreamWorks logo right there with the moon crest and the clouds. And then let's think about the other IPs. Like, oh, they own Trolls. They own Shrek. Oh, that could be a Shrek era over there. Oh, there's, like, water going through the land. Maybe they have, like, a... I know there's speculation of like a log flume water ride around the park to see to take you around the entire park. So, oh, maybe that's something. But me, I'm very surface level person when it comes to, oh, lots of color. This looks fun. Like a couple rides here and there. But I just like how people like truly dissect just this map, because that's really all people have right now, is to dissect this colorful map and speculate what kind of rides or attractions or characters they're actually going to have.
Yeah, so let's look at the concept art a little bit, and let's kind of go counterclockwise. So you start at the main entrance, and Ryan said, you have that DreamWorks logo. It's kind of vague, but it's clearly blue. You got the clouds. That's DreamWorks, if you've seen a new DreamWorks animated picture, they have completely updated their logo and their like movie intro. It's awesome. So it's clearly DreamWorks. Now, if you kind of go counterclockwise around the park, starting with the right, the bottom right, it's very colorful. It's very on brand of Trolls. Trolls movies have, I believe there's three, or there's two, and they're currently making a third one, has been a very popular franchise. I think the pop culture, the music that the Trolls sing, you have characters that are voiced by Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendricks. Like, that series of movies, I didn't think would be as popular as they are, but they're very colorful, they're very fun, they have music. They've been popular for Universal and DreamWorks. So they're kind of starting out there. There's definitely in this concept art, there is a stage show, it looks like.
I see a fountain.
Yeah, so I think there's some smaller, like, overall, I think you are going to find smaller attractions that you might find at a Six Flags, at a Cedar Fair, but I think they're going to be more highly themed. So the idea of like a Dumbo ride or a little spinner ride or a smaller Ferris wheel or something of that nature, I think could be put in these areas for this kids park, but I think they're going to be highly themed and add to the theme park element instead of the amusement park element.
So we talk about how exciting this park can be. Just to have a little bit of a devil's advocate here, it seems very cluttered. Like, we talked about the acres. Like, it's already a small land to begin with, and 90 acres. They've only built, from our vantage point so far, 30 acres. And then you think about it, we got four different IP lands and 30 acres. And looking at this map, I mean, like, that Trolls area, I mean, it's like, it's broken up into like four quarters. But I can see where it can be a little bit cluttered and overpacked in this little small 30 acres.
I think that's kind of the main goal, if truly. And I think that's
like overload, like sensory overload.
It's kind of the same idea what's happening with Super Nintendo World. Like, honestly, that Diagon Alley down in Universal Studios Orlando, those lands are, they're not that big. Like, they, even like Pandora, I feel like Pandora at Animal Kingdom feels like it's huge, but I really don't believe it is. And I think it's because you're really immersed in it. And that takes, you know, you don't want to make it that big if you're trying to make it super immersive. Like, you want to feel as though you're walking and every single thing you look at, whether it's on the ground, on the walls, or even up above, can be highly themed. And I think keeping the lands close together, not making them, which is kind of different, like this idea of portals, which is going to be happening at Epic Universe when Universal builds that park.
Well, that's funny you said that, because when I was looking into this park, there is a ton of comparisons to Epic Universe with this park.
With the layout in general, because Epic Universe is going to have four major lands. That's the idea. So it kind of has that same layout almost, where you enter, there's a water feature right in the middle, and then there's going to be a theme park land on basically each corner.
So when you're looking at it, it's like it's a fourth the size of a regular Universal park.
Yeah.
That's just wild to think about while we're taking us to the land. So next little section there, Paul.
So on the top right, you're going to be looking at what a lot of people believe to be more Shrek-themed or Puss in Boots-themed, because Puss in Boots just had a second movie, which is doing well, and kind of that far, far away or fairy tale aspect that those films, you know, include. Possibly we had Shrek 4D down in Orlando that just closed last year that we could kind of have this show. There's a show building in the back.
Yeah, there's a big show here, like theater building back there.
It looks like there's some castle atmosphere going on, which you could see, you know, there is, I believe it's Singapore, Universal Singapore, that there is a huge themed land to Shrek already, and the castle far, far away. And that, I've seen stuff, and that Shrek themed land is one of the best and coolest lands I've ever seen in a theme park.
Well, that's what's good about theme park, because you could see the success of that in Singapore, just like Super Nintendo World has success in Japan. Like, why wouldn't you just, it's the same IP, why not just bring it over to the States?
And showcase to a different audience who would love it. So it looks like there's a swamp here in the middle, clearly Shrek Swamp, which would be great.
Donkey.
So that's kind of your theme, your land, your themed land, top right here, this would be Shrek. Then if you're moving over to the middle, there's two things going on here. Facing the front of the park, it looks like a boat ride, but it also looks like the boat ride and the waterways go through all four lands, which is, I think, a really cool way to kind of go at your own pace. It might be a log flume-esque thing where you're kind of on level ground, but you're weaving in and out of the lands. I think one for kinetic energy, as we talked about, right? That's something that if there's movement constantly going through all these lands, it creates this really cool atmosphere. And for someone who's going on that ride, you get to see everything from a different perspective.
It gives the park more life.
Yeah, it's just different stuff going on there. And then looking face towards the back of the park, there's this kind of show building of theater that people are speculating is the DreamWorks Theater, which is out in Universal Studios Hollywood, which currently has, I believe, a Kung Fu Panda movie ride element to it.
Are you going to tell them?
What?
You love Kung Fu Panda.
I do. I mean, I do like Kung Fu Panda. And Kung Fu Panda is a DreamWorks property, as we talked about.
I didn't know you were going to tell them.
There is. What's awesome. Universal, it's the newest Universal Studios. I think it's Beijing. That one had, they just built a Kung Fu Panda land in that park, which I was like, dude, I love Kung Fu Panda. Those films are amazing. So you get some Kung Fu Panda representation, which is cool. If moving over to the top left here, it looks very identical to what we know as Jurassic Park.
Whoa.
It kind of has the visitor center architecture here. You can kind of see like just those elements. Even the back corner, all the way tucked away, there's this kind of, it looks like a smaller roller coaster, maybe something very kid friendly.
So what do you think that land is?
So I believe that to be Camp Cretaceous, which is under Jurassic Park.
See, I don't know what that is.
So Camp Cretaceous, as we kind of talked about earlier in the show, is an animated series currently on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's meant towards a younger audience, but it deals with the same branding as Jurassic Park, with dinosaurs, that kind of thing. So it is a DreamWorks property. It's just currently, you know, being shown on Netflix, but I've heard really great things about it. It's done well. It has a few seasons over there. And I think the Jurassic Park branding is just very iconic to Universal. So yeah. I think that's something that they would want to include in their park.
I agree. And we mentioned pre-show that we weren't going to bring this up, but they mentioned in some like press release that they're not going to have any dark rides. Now, me and Paul are not really sure what dark rides mean, but like I kind of associate that with kind of being like just like scarier rides, I guess. Okay, Paul doesn't think so. What's your educated guess on it though?
So I know what a dark ride is. That's why I don't think it's true, because you clearly have to have dark rides here.
That's what I was, is it the example of this?
So there's these big if you look at the concept art, there's a bunch of big show buildings, what they're called.
Right.
And it's basically when a ride goes inside of a building. And most rides you ever been on, you're in a building, right? So it's like the Haunted Mansion, for example. You're in a building. It's considered a dark ride.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's good. That's good.
So it's like a dark ride. Content. So the Disney dark ride is kind of a traditional Disney ride where you're either going through the show building and you're seeing show elements, you're on a track, and you're kind of, they're telling you the story as you're going through the big building on this track. And that's kind of like a dark ride because it's inside in a building.
Oh,
so this idea of the dark ride, I see all these giant show buildings. Yeah, there's probably some restaurants here, you know, and there's probably some backstage areas for cast members and those kind of things. But there's got to be a dark ride here somewhere. At least, you know, a show or a smaller Omni Mover attraction, just like the Haunted Mansion. Like there's got to be something here. Mm. So, and then bottom left, it kind of looks like this New York area. So a lot of people are speculating this is Madagascar. Now, Madagascar hasn't made a new film in a very long time, but they do have three franchise films. They also have a spinoff series of The Penguins of Madagascar, which has been very popular. I believe there's two or three films there. And then they had the Penguins of Madagascar series, which ran on Nickelodeon for a very long time. It was very popular. So creating this New York area, this is kind of where you're going to have a lot of water elements as well for little kids. There looks to be some fountains here, a lot of greenery. There's probably a bunch of meet and greets in this area because they use the Madagascar characters very heavily in the current theme parks of those character meet and greets. So that's kind of what we're seeing at that bottom left.
They mentioned they're harping on keeping, like their message is keeping the park and theme park. And I think that New York section of Madagascar is a good component of that. Also, there's a lot of trees throughout the entire park. So obviously they are trying to keep the park and theme park. So I think they did a good job with maintaining that. So cool land, like I said, smaller, 1/4 the size of Universal, but I mean, it's got a lot of different IPs, a lot of cool speculation. And then I guess we'll see where they go from here.
I think that's just the fun of it as a theme park fan. Whenever a new park gets announced, even if I'm not the target audience, a lot of people have been breaking this down and are interested to see where Universal goes with this, right? Is it popular? Is it really as great as the concept art seems? You never know with that kind of stuff. And if it is successful, will they branch out and build it in a city near you? And it's just kind of seeing Disney, you know, kind of pulling back, not releasing new rides, pulling back on a lot of things, not really caring towards the guests. Then you have Universal, on the other hand, who is like building a new theme park in Orlando. They just built a new land in Hollywood that's you know, Super Nintendo World. They're looking at expanding their audience to a younger generation and building those people up to their larger parks and just expanding and growing. They built a new park in Beijing, which opened in 2021. So Universal is a really exciting company right now. And it's just really exciting in the theme park industry to follow what they're doing. So I'm excited.
So I know you did a good job right there wrapping things up, Paul.
Yeah, but you're going to continue.
But I have a serious question.
What's your question?
I mean, we tell, like, producer Drew is back rolling his eyes, but this is a serious question. So I know they're targeting heavily the 3 to 9 year old range. I just turned 26 years old. I want to go.
Okay.
I can imagine if a 14, 16, 18-year-old kid sees this park, sees Madagascar. You just said that Madagascar hasn't come out with a movie in how long?
Yeah.
That's our demographic.
Correct.
Like, Madagascar is our IP. I'm claiming that. Same thing with Jurassic Park. That's our demographic. Shrek, that's our demographic. Like, I know that we don't want to go, like, this is a theme park for kids, but at the same time, they're movies that we enjoy. They're characters that we enjoy.
Yeah,
you talk
course.
About the element of an adult Disney fan. Like, that's us too. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they balance. Like, do we not let X amount of teens in? Like, do we not let X amount of adults in? It's going to be interesting. I think some people are going to be mad about it too.
I feel people will be mad, but I think it is going to be very similar to Legoland and very simply Chuck E. Cheese.
You got to find a little kid.
You got to have a little kid. Go get your niece, nephew, or, you know, the park might open in 2 years, so get rolling on that.
Get the baby making.
And, you know, you'll be able to see this park. But let us know what you think about this new park coming to Frisco, Texas from Universal. And any questions you have about the land or you want to talk about the land, put it in the comment section down below. That's it for us, baby. As always,
music. Take us out.
Peace.
Later.